you're hearing this right now, let me say thank you. Thanks for being a listener of this show. Because of ruckus makers just like you, the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, the original ruckus maker podcast for visionary leaders who want to do school different and make a legendary impact on their campus, has done quite well. This show ranks in the top 0.5% of over 3 million worldwide shows. And that's not because of me. It's because of you. Because you've listened, because you're loyal, most importantly, because you're a ruckus maker. Hey, this is Danny Bauer, Chief Ruckus Maker over at Better Leaders, Better Schools. And today we're talking to my good friend, Mitch Weathers. And here's the thing about Mitch. He became a gifted teacher because he was a mediocre student. How about that? Despite taking 7 years to graduate college, Mitch navigated the classroom with discomfort. This unique perspective fueled his teaching approach. And recognizing the importance of laying a foundation for learning, he created Organized Finder. This research-backed strategy empowers teachers to impart executive function skills efficiently, preserving valuable instructional time. By establishing a predictable routine, and listen to the words, a predictable learning routine, Organized Binder fosters safer learning spaces, shaping Mitch's journey from a struggling student to an innovative educator. And that predictable learning routine is unpacked in Mitch's latest book, which I'm so proud he created, called Executive Functions for Every Classroom. It's Ruckus Makers approved, and I highly encourage you check it out. So today we'll cover topics like, what are the two challenges teaching executive functions and how do we navigate them? How do we create predictable learning environments in the first place? And we also do a deep dive into beginning and concluding routines, what's broken, what's wrong, and how to fix those routines. So once again, thanks for listening. We'll be right back after a quick message from our show sponsors. Hey, Ruckus Maker, I'll make this quick. If you're listening to this message right now, you're missing out. When you subscribe to the Ruckus Maker newsletter on Substack, you get access to microbooks focused on how to do school different, tools and other resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different, stories and case studies of the world's most legendary ruckus makers of all time, access to my calendar to schedule coaching sessions, and you'll also get bonus podcast content that won't be released on the main podcast feed and podcast episodes without any advertisements. So if you love this show, if it's helped you grow, and you want access to more tools and resources that will help you make a ruckus and do school different, and become a paid subscriber at ruckusmakers.substack.com. That's ruckusmakers.substack.com. I'm sure you've heard that energy flows to where attention goes, right? If you want to get more of what you want, when you want it as a school leader, I've got a tool for you. The secret is to celebrate the positive things happening on campus and to go multiple levels deeper to tap into why it even matters. When you do that, anything is possible on your campus. And I mean anything. And you start to get more of what you want when you want it. If you'd like to spread more positivity and create more value for all stakeholders on your campus, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/positive and download your free tool today. IXL is a go-to support for classroom teachers because its adaptive platform makes differentiated instruction easy. See for yourself and get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. How would you like to increase student talk by an average of 40%? More student ownership, more student discourse. Check it out for yourself by trying out TeachFX. Go to teachfx.com/betterleaders to pilot their program today. What does your school cafeteria make you think of? Chaos? Headaches? Quality food? Well, Quest stands apart in the school food service industry as a partner that provides high quality food for your students. This is food you can be proud of. Learn more at Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com. All right. Welcome to the show, Mitch Weathers, my buddy.
Thank you for having me.
My brother in red-hatted brother from Patagonia.
Glad to be back.
Absolutely.
Red Hat Mafia right here. Red Beanie.
That should be a thing.
Red Beanie book selfie.
Oh, for sure.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, let's talk about my modeling skills. You know, I put up a pretty epic selfie, you know, and then crowned myself a professional book model selfie picture taker.
I think there's a future there.
I think so. I mean, I think I'm getting even more handsome as I age. My wife has said, you know, guys age well. And so I think she's saying, hey man, you're looking good these days. And I appreciate that, putting work in the gym. But I wanted to celebrate you. I mean, you've put together an incredible book, Executive Functions for Every Classroom, Creating Safe and Predictable Learning Environments, grades 3-12. And I love it, right? And your work is really meaningful, impactful. It's certainly Ruckus Maker approved in helping Ruckus Makers do school different because, you know, we'll get into it. But I mean, if we're honest, there's a lot of unpredictable quality teaching, right? And that's not everywhere. There's a lot of great teaching and a lot of great teachers. But we all have those teachers that are just like, you know, oh my gosh, where were you trained? Right. How do you know what you're doing? Like, why don't you know what you're doing? Do you even like kids? I don't know if this book will help those ones, the last one. But if they like kids and just need some support, you know,
right.
And if they're already pretty effective, they could even take it to like crazy, crazy teaching levels. Yeah, but let's start with just like, how do you define executive functions?
Yeah.
You know, I hear that word a lot, but right. So what? How do you describe it?
Yeah, that's a good starting place. And I start that way in the book too, actually, right from the beginning, because it is a term that's thrown around a lot. I like to go lo-fi and low-tech on the definition and use the word that I didn't coin, but some schools that I've had the honor of working with did called studentness. And before I had the language, it was really thinking about it this way, like what's all the stuff, student, all the skills and habits, all the things students need to be able to do to be successful, regardless of what they're trying to learn. Like all that stuff that kind of surrounds and props up or lays the foundation for learning. There's more eloquent and scientific definitions, but executive functioning is really kind of an umbrella term or phrase. And what I try to do with the book is really unpack and make very clear the executive functioning skills that research has overwhelmingly shown have an impact on student learning and academic success.
Did you call it studentness? Is that what you said?
Yeah, studentness.
That's very interesting. And I will say, you know, for the Ruckus Maker listening, there's actually a leadership lesson there, which is listen to your people in that they will give you the words and language of the cool stuff that you're doing, right? And a lot of times we're scratching our heads like, you know, how do I frame this, talk about this, so on and so forth, so that I motivate people to implement the initiative or change or whatever. They'll show you the way if you're listening, right? So I just want to highlight that. And this might be the one thing that people need to hear other than go buy Executive Functions for Every Classroom for sure. Okay, so that's a common definition. You know, you talk about that there's two challenges to teaching executive functions. How do we navigate those?
Right. That comes about by thinking, Danny, like when I am working with a group of teachers, or anybody for that matter, and I put up the six executive functioning skills that kind of are the framework for the book, which are goal setting, working memory, time and task management, organizational skills, self-regulation, and accountability, right? I've never met a teacher or a parent or a leader that thinks, yeah, those are good things for young people to get practice with and start to hone and make some around. And yet when you look at it, like the research around it and just from our own lived experiences, by and large, those skills are just left up to chance. And you know, we also are seeing that in the pandemic certainly highlighted this fact that we can't make that mistake any longer. We can't just like hope students pick it up. That great story real quick. My dad's cousin who is now a retired professor at University of California, Davis, out here where I'm at. And he taught engineering and graduate and junior and senior underground level. And his wife bought the book and he took it from her when it got there. It was just a couple of weeks ago, right? So it just came out. And he sent me an email earlier this week congratulating me and, you know, how much you love the book and what an impact. And said that you would think students at this university at this level would have these executive functioning skills. And he said, but many of them didn't. And they struggled academically at this level, not because of their capability, but they lack some of these skills and habits. And so when you, and it's every, you talk to anybody, like, of course we want, but we don't teach them. And I've thought a lot about this, especially in the last 2 years in writing the book. And I think I've identified the two, or I would say, like, say, I know I've identified two reasons. And the first, for a teacher's reality, is I call the time crunch, right? It rarely, if ever, do teachers have enough time in the school year or even the school day to get through what they want to or what they're tasked with teaching. There's just always this like pressure, time crunch, you know, and that day-to-day just grind. Like we don't even get to excuse when we go to the bathroom. Like it's just a relentless time crunch. So where am I going to fit it in? It is one part of it. And you asked about navigating it. So I want to say this as well. This is why curriculums that promise to teach executive functioning skills fall flat, because where do you incorporate it? It's about, if I'm teaching fifth grade or I'm teaching seventh grade math, like I don't have enough time to get through that in the first place. So even if I want my students to learn about organizational skills or goal setting or whatever, you know, they're focusing on, realistically, where am I going to fit the time? And so we take those curriculums and we put them in a homeroom or an advocacy room or, you know, kind of that.
Where they go to die.
Pull out class for everyone. Right. Yeah, exactly. And not to say those homerooms aren't important and can be effective, but you know as well as I do.
A lot of teachers mail it in there. They don't do nothing. That's a break time.
Totally. And students don't see it as a real class. So you, even if the curriculum is worthwhile, it's at a deficit. So you have this time crunch. But the second is what I call the zone of genius. And the way I like to explain it is when I would walk into my mom's second grade classroom, she taught second grade most of her career, and you could just kind of feel it, right? We've all walked into those learning spaces where you're like, this is someone's zone of genius. Like they got this. And that might not be executive functioning skills. And so to expect somebody that, that's not my expertise, coupled with I don't have any time in the first place to get through what I'm supposed to get through, these things get left kind of on the wayside. And I can't tell you from my experience how many people I should have been keeping track over the years have come up, veteran and new teacher alike, and just, oh, this is all the stuff I know I need to be doing. And I haven't gotten around to it, or I haven't had the time, or I didn't know how to do it. And here it is in this routine that I can implement that's not going to interfere with my instructional time. Right. So those are the two.
Yeah. That's a genius piece, because if it's not interfering with the time crunch and feeling like what they need to cover, it's implemented within that structure already. That's a win for the teacher. It's a win for the students, you know? So that's absolutely huge. I don't know if you shared and I missed it, but can you maybe unpack a bit about how it's like integrated into that experience? You know, I'm going to ask you about beginning routines, concluding routines, and why the ways they're usually done don't necessarily work. So I don't know if I'm asking a similar question from a different way. If I'm not, first just address like how's it embedded in what people are already doing.
Yeah, because that's a really important place to start. And for every ruckus maker leader out there listening, regardless of the professional learning experience of the PD or the resource or intervention, the tool that's come into your district or campus and classrooms, if it requires an absorbent amount of time, class time, it's less likely to get implemented. If it requires that the teacher completely reconfigure or largely reconfigure what they do, it's also likely going to be left on the shelf. And so the key here, I might even say the thesis of my book, Danny, is that if teachers commit to implementing the predictable, the consistent and predictable learning routine, just the daily routine that's outlined in the book, it's kind of a structure of the book, which in large part is how we begin, how we transition, and how we conclude. And if by virtue of participating in that routine, when students engage in the routine, they get practice with these executive functioning skills. But the key is it's within the context of whatever they're learning. If we're going to stick with that seventh grade math class example, how we begin, how we transition, how we end, it's all like the routine, but it doesn't interfere with my instructional time. And in fact, when teachers commit to this routine and it's shared from class to class or grade level to grade level, so when a school commits to it, teachers report back that they have more instructional time because they're really starting to paint those undefined or what I call gray areas, black and white in the classroom. So the whole thing is predicated on routine and model, which brings about clarity. And those are the three keys to teaching executive functions. So the onus on the teacher, it's quite liberating. So it's like, doesn't have to be my zone of genius. What I'm going to do is commit to this very simple routine and I'm going to keep a class sample of what students have. So I'm constantly modeling it for them. And I'm going to get to work and doing whatever it is, whatever grade level or subject I'm teaching. So that's where I don't want to say, super easy to implement, but it is quite easy, especially if you're committed to and see the need for developing these executive functioning skills in students. Did I answer your question?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think as we paint the picture, so let's go to the beginning routines. I think we're making the case of why the executive functions matter and how you can create this consistent, predictable learning environment. But why do old and sort of traditional beginning routines fail, and what should we do to replace them?
Yeah, well, there's a few of them. And without being able to model this and just talk about it, hopefully I'll be clear on this one. But what I most will, either there's an absence of a routine, a beginning routine. And teachers sometimes have told me over the years they need to feel the need and the desire to be creative, to do something new every day. And I say, yeah, do that with your curriculum, the stuff you're teaching. Have fun. Let it be engaging. Get passionate about it. Never mess with the routine. A consistent, predictable routine, because predictable learning environments are safer. And we can't underestimate for some students how unpredictable their lived experiences outside of class, right? So that it has a profound impact on this is a safer environment. And we also know that inherent to learning is risk-taking, and inherent to risk-taking is failure, right? So the safer I feel, the more I'm going to lean in and be willing to take and try some of those risks, as opposed to very chaotic learning environments where I'm used to navigating when I kind of have this protective shell or lack of engagement. So no routine, no starting routine. I've had teachers tell me, yeah, I don't have one. And I always respond and say, yes, you do. That's your routine. Students will adapt
the absence
and respond to whatever it is. So the absence of routine is your routine. So do you wonder why it takes 5 minutes to start class and you often have management issues and a lack of engagement? We can paint that gray area black and white. So that's one thing I see. Another thing I see, which is a common starting routine, is, and let me back up a little bit. In the absence of the real cognitive issue there is teachers might reference or mention what they did previously, but oftentimes we're moving on. We're introduction to what we're doing today. Well intended, right? But we're not pausing to make a connection with what I've previously learned and experienced, what we're going to do today and how it connects to where we're going. And each time when we start, taking a moment to do that is really critical for learning, because if I start by saying, just asking, questioning, probing, about things we've previously learned or experienced. It gives students a moment to practice something called retrieval practice, which is going back and retrieving and interacting with things we've learned or experienced previously. Maybe that was in the last time I saw you in the last lesson. Maybe it was last week sometime. There's different names for these different retrieval practices. But retrieval practice requires something called working memory. I unpack all this in the book, to think of working memory as your short-term memory. It's the engine for learning. And the more interaction, Marzano and lots of others have shown this in research, the more interactions and more exposures to I have to the things I'm learning, the more likely I'm going to move it to that ultimate destination we want it to go to, which is long-term memory. But that back and forth with retrieval and interacting with it and getting messy with it. I'm not talking about right or wrong answers here either. I'm just talking about cognitive process. So there's a golden, literally a golden opportunity every time we begin to pause and look back from where we came and allow students to practice retrieval practice. Just giving them chances to interact, hopefully in a no stakes way. So here's, I'm going to unpack some of the other reasons why beginning routines can fail. A lack of one.
Let me stop you there. Don't put a pin in what you're going to say about why it also doesn't work. But my aha that I just want to unpack for the ruckus maker listening is, oh, let's do this at the Sustainable School Leadership on day two. Like, let's start day two reviewing some of what we learned and did on day one. And then that would be a nice bridge and set you up for whatever talk that you're building to help ruckus makers have sustainable solutions within their school. But I wasn't even thinking of that until we started recording. And now I'm like, oh, I know how to open day two. We'll open that way. So
great idea.
Pretty cool.
I mean, you've heard this saying, like in the old traditional classroom where a kind of a didactic lecture-based teacher's talking, students are passively listening, that whoever's doing the talking is learning, retaining more information. And I've heard it as much as like 90-10, right? So we know we have to be more active, but think about lesson planning. Why do teachers know their content so well? Well, they're doing it year after year, but they have to go back and think about it, read up on here, and what's the strategy? All of that is retrieval. It's going back and interacting with things that we've learned, and it helps us remember it. We retain it. And so this golden moment is so often missed because, one, there's nothing happening. Two, we start with the quiz. Horrible idea. Do not start class on the school day with a quiz, period. This should be outlawed. It makes no sense. And ruckus makers hear that loud and clear because it does one of two things, depending on the students in the room. One, it brings up anxiety. So we don't even have to mention test anxiety. But if I have the opportunity to fail the moment I show up to class every single day, I'm going to be less engaged. Like, I don't want to fail every time I start something. Eventually, I'm going to be like, this is the, right? Not for me. I'm not getting it, right? And it does nothing to guide a teacher's instruction. All it does is it says who got it, who didn't. Now what? The kids who got it feel good about themselves and are more likely to engage with me. And the students who didn't probably don't feel super good about themselves or confident and maybe less likely to be leaning back. So get rid of the quiz. Start with some type of prompt or, like I said, anything you want to do to just have that reflection. The other thing I see, and it's not so much around cognition, it's around classroom management and time management. Teachers will have some type of beginning prompt. We call it a kickoff, an organized binder. I don't care what name you call it. I unpack why we call it that, and I'd love for you to read about that because I think it's really important. But the mistake that teachers make is they have that prompt up for students when they walk into the classroom, whether or not class has begun. And so what that creates is an environment where, because everybody shows up at a slightly different time, right? When class actually does begin, and I'm going to say I'm that seventh grade math teacher still, and I have 30 students in the room. I've created nothing the students are doing. I've created a scenario by simply having that prompt up where class has begun, but we're all in slightly different places of completion. So I can't really begin because maybe Danny showed up 3 minutes ago and he's done with it because his class was around the corner where someone else was coming a further part in campus, or maybe they had to stop in the restroom, or if it's a school with lockers, like, right? So now this person shows up. Let's even say they're still on time. They're already feeling like they're behind. So there's this anxiety that can be around that. And then as a teacher, I get to wait for 1 to 2 to 3. I've been in classrooms and watched it. And even the most well-intentioned students left with nothing to do sitting idle, at a minimum, are going to be more likely to pull students off task. And there can be this massive waste of time. And you've heard me say this before, Danny, that 1 minute in a classroom equals 3 hours, right? So 1 minute in a 180-day school year, if I take 1 minute, class starts, takes me 1 minute to get everyone together and we're kind of engaged. If I did that, if that's my routine, I've just wasted 180 minutes, which is 3 hours of instructional time. And I've seen classrooms where it's as far as 20 minutes routinely wasted, just that trying to get going. Now that's an egregious example, but if we could just simply, and please read the book and see this, same prompt, it's just how you use it. Instead, have some type of cueing, nonverbal visual cueing that in order to be ready to go when we begin or on time, is you just need to be in your assigned seat or lab table or workstation, whatever the learning environment is. And in my argument is with your binder open to this page. And then when we begin, I start class. I'm the teacher of record. We begin when I start, not the bell. And we all engage. And then I reveal the prompt and we all engage together. No one's feeling left behind. No one's feeling. And there's it's a simple adjustment, but it's these little, you know, in fact, the beginning and concluding routine, there's a lot of similarity in the book. And at first I put them all in one chapter, but there's so much to be said for the beginning routine because the first 2 minutes set the stage for the whole lesson, right? So I really kind of unpack that and take a deep dive of how we utilize those first few minutes. I think they're the most important in class to set the tone, and we need to pack as many celebrated victories into those moments as humanly possible so that students feel good about themselves and want to engage with me. And maybe feel safe enough to take some risks.
Brilliant. All right. So that covers beginning routines. I think we'll pause here for a moment and get a message in from our sponsors. And then when we come back, let's talk about some concluding routines.
Teachers love the support that IXL provides in the classroom, and ruckus makers love it as well, because IXL also gives school leaders meaningful insights into every level. Put your finger on the pulse of student performance via the IXL dashboard, or drill down to see progress and growth for individual students. You can even customize reports to hone in on the information that matters most to you. IXL helps ruckus makers make data-informed decisions that will benefit their student growth goals. Get started today at IXL.com/leaders. That's IXL.com/leaders. In post-pandemic classrooms, student talk is crucial. And when classrooms come alive with conversation, teachers and students both thrive. TeachFX helps teachers make it happen. The TeachFX instructional coaching app provides insights into student talk, effective questions, and classroom conversation quality. TeachFX professional development complements the app and empowers teachers with best practices for generating meaningful student discourse. Teachers using TeachFX increase their student talk by an average of 40%. Imagine that, 40% more ownership over the class by students. Ruckus makers can pilot TeachFX with their teachers. Visit teachfx.com/betterleaders to learn how. That's teachfx.com/betterleaders. When it comes to your school's dining experience, it might feel like one more thing on your plate. And it is, which is why you need a collaborative partner who will proactively listen and respond to your individual cafeteria needs. When you bring on Quest Food Management Services, you can expect support around school cafeteria facility and equipment design, concept and station creation, menu and nutrition development, employee management, technology implementation, marketing communications, and day-to-day guest food service and operations. With Quest, you get it all. Learn more about Quest Food Management Services at questfms.com or follow Quest Food on social media. That's questfms.com.
All right, we're back with my buddy, Mitch Weathers, who wrote a fantastic book that's Ruckus Maker Approved, Executive Functions for Every Classroom, Creating Safe and Predictable Learning Environments, Grades 3 through 12. And we just finished talking about beginning routines. We're going to move to concluding routines. Just quick question, the acknowledgements, you know, you mentioned me, so thank you for that. But there's also a guy, Brett Bauer. Did you tell him he spells the last name wrong? I don't know if he knows that or not. B-O-W-E-R. I saw that and I thought it might be a misprint. And I just wanted to check in with you to make sure in case you need to let him.
That's a correct spelling.
And we honor that. I'm just being a goofball. Okay, so I like to have laughs. Let's talk, concluding routines. Beginnings and endings, especially if you read other books like Dan Pink's, what's it called? Drive or Time? Dang. Oh, it's called When. We read a book called When. Dan Pink, actually, a New York Times bestselling author, has been on this podcast. But we read When in the Mastermind. Great read. And it looks at time from a variety of things. Power of Moments, you know, also teaches us that beginnings and endings are like, those are the parts that really matter. So that's why I'm framing our conversation around how do we begin class? How do we end class? So yeah, what do you have to say about concluding routines?
Good stuff. In the same way, so that I had made the case for retrieval practice, and what I say in the book is students getting the opportunity to flex their working memory. The more opportunities that I get, the more exposures I have to what I'm learning, the more likely I am to retain it, right? Just like anything we're trying to learn, repetition, 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 right? So the beginning routine is about a reflection on what we've learned or experienced previously in this learning community. What I advocate for in the concluding routine is taking 2 or 3 minutes at the end of class or the school day to just have a quiet time of reflection. And there's research around that of just, okay, putting all the pieces in place before we leave, as opposed to doing what I did as a new teacher, defining success, whether or not I got to my lesson plan. So as I got to the end of the lesson, if I wasn't where I thought I needed to be, I started rushing and then kids would be packing up and I'd be, you know, giving announcements as they're leaving the class, and it just felt very hurried. And so I advocate for saying, put a timer on your phone and wherever you are, pause and have students reflect, not on what we've learned previously, but what we've learned and experienced today. And what that does for students or for teachers, we've all heard the phrase begin with the end in mind. I refer to it as the target. Like, what do I hope you do at the end of the day? What do I hope you can demonstrate? What do I hope you can make connections to? What can you articulate at the end of this lesson, whatever, however long that is, whatever we're learning, but just beginning with the end in mind. Where do I hope we go? Do we always get there? Of course not. Do we hit the target? Of course not. But lots of times you do if you're aiming for it. And as you start to get, you know, more familiar with who's in the room, what you can plan, how you plan, and then giving students that time to just think about and articulate what they're learning or maybe what's confusing to them from the lesson. You'll see in the book that I absolutely recommend that students write this down and give it back to the teacher. I advocate for the end of the week, not the exit ticket every day. Teachers just, it's not a sustainable practice. They don't have enough time every day to do that, but they can at the end of the week, and they could read them every day. But if we capture that all on one piece of paper and it comes to the teacher at the end of the week, then I can carve out some time after school at the end of the week or over the weekend. And I just read these reflections, and the way I sell it in the book, the way we sell it to students is saying, this is a one-on-one private conversation between you and the teacher. And think about what that says, Danny, because it's different than grading homework. When I say, just talk to me, I really want to know where this is landing with you because I care about you. And I'm going to read these and I'm going to comment back on you to you, and I'm going to give them back to you next week. And it's the only place I dare teacher to try it, because you'll walk into class on Monday or the following week, whatever the first day is for you. And it's like having a pulse on every student in the room, like in a very powerful way. But it really communicates to students that they're cared for. Like, I want to hear from you individually, right? It's different than an average of a test score. It's different than grading homework. And what it does for the teacher is it makes bell-to-bell instruction a reality, which is so hard to do. It's almost impossible every day to plan a lesson that maximizes time. And we also know from research, Steve Parr says it in his book, you know, effective teachers utilize every single second for teaching and learning, not in some authoritarian way, but it's that important. Time is that important. So how do we maximize the entire thing? And teachers do a great job with that. Well, most teachers do a great job at that middle spot, like their lesson. What I've seen is some of the most underutilized school time are the first few moments and the last few moments. So instead of just suggesting something for teachers, in the book, you'll see it's like, do this. Iterate on it eventually, but do this at the beginning, do this at the end. And now think about it. Let's step back, right? You have, I give my lesson, whatever it is, my first lesson of the day. First time I'm introducing a concept, student's first exposure to it. At the end of class, we reflect on that, kind of digesting it. We're working with it. Second exposure. If I give any next steps or practice or homework outside of class, that could be student's third interaction. And when you come back to me 24 hours later, within moments of us beginning, guess what? We go right back to that concept. So teachers are not doing anything else in terms of content. Keep teaching your lesson. But implement this simple routine, beginning and concluding routine, and you could have as many as 4 exposures. I use the word marinate. I always tell my students, I'm just going to marinate you in the content and it's just going to like seep in. You're not going to be able to forget it. And the science of that, the science of learning and cognizance, it's these interactions. It's retrieval practice that moves it into long-term memory. There's a lot with that beginning and concluding routine.
Yeah, for sure. Those are good parts. And listen, I wish we had more time to cover all the great content and executive functions for every classroom. But just again, Ruckus Maker approved. And we're going to strongly encourage you to go out and pick up a copy today. All right. So in conclusion here, like I said, there's too much to cover. So pick up the book. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, in March, is Corwin doing some kind of special for people that order, or is that just for authors?
Authors. Yeah, that's coming through authors. Different.
Okay. So forget what I just said there, listener. All right. Anyways, pick up the book, but we've got a pretty cool little special for you, a competition, a contest, so to speak. And you're invited to try.
Oh, not so to speak. This is a legitimate competition.
Right. You need to, I mean, can you dethrone me as the number one most liked professional selfie book model? And here's the rules, okay? They're very simple. And number one, buy Mitch's book, right? So go to organizedbinder.com/book.
Go to Amazon.
Go to Amazon. Sorry.
Go to Amazon, everybody.
Get it in 2 days because Mitch takes 20 days.
Right. I signed. If you want a signed copy, go through organizedbinder.com/book.
Otherwise.
And that's cool. I appreciate the support. Yeah. Amazon, free shipping, all that. So, okay. Go ahead.
So get the book. This is coming out mid-March and we're going to run the contest through the end of March and pick a winner by April 1st, I think. But here's how to play. So buy the book, tag at Organized Binder, right? Tag me at I am Danny Bauer, because sometimes Mitch misses stuff and I'm going to help him not miss things. So tag us both on Instagram.
Instagram. We're going Instagram.
It's a picture place. Yes. So at Organized Binder, at I am Danny Bauer, give us both a follow as well and take a incredible, energetic, super great looking professional book selfie, right?
Professional. I don't know.
What's going to happen? Yeah. And by professional, I mean, you know, give your phone to your partner and then take a picture. Okay. But anyways, by April 1st, we're going to pick the best selfie, right? It's subjective. Mitch is the author, so he'll pick his favorite one. Maybe he'll pick more. I don't know. But if you didn't know this, he actually has an executive functions online course, has a bunch of modules, that kind of stuff, but it takes the learning even deeper. And so he's generously said he'll give away a bundle of those for your teaching staff. And he'll also make time for you for an individual live call. So buy the book, tag at Organized Binder at I am Danny Bauer on Instagram in your post. Follow us both. And then by April, Mitch will pick a winner and you might get that time with him. and those executive function courses. So, Mitch, listen, happy birthday. It's your birthday, so happy birthday.
Today is, man. Thank you very much. Yeah. 52. Looking forward to the next trip around the sun.
Brilliant. Thanks for sharing this time with me. Like I said, this is a really great book, Ruckus Maker approved. I always, you know, find it as a plus one to my day if I get to connect with you. So thanks again.
Yeah, me too, man. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show. Always fun to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, Ruckus Maker. How would you like to lead with confidence, swap exhaustion for energy, turn your critics into cheerleaders, and so much more? The Ruckus Maker Mastermind is a world-class leadership program designed for growth-minded school leaders just like you. Go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind. Learn more about our program and fill out the application. We'll be in touch within 48 hours to talk how we can help you be even more effective. And by the way, we have cohorts that are diverse and mixed up. We also have cohorts just for women in leadership and a BIPOC-only cohort as well. When you're ready to level up, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/mastermind and fill out the application. Thanks again for listening to the show. Bye for now and go make a ruckus.